Thank you, Dr. Lacy. Thank you very much for having me to this presentation. So today I'm going to tell you a little bit about infrared thermometry for maize. First of all, I'll explain a little bit about our research experiment and how our treatments are structured, and talk a little bit about some of the differences we're seeing in canopy temperature due to soil differences, and look at some alternatives to the crop water stress index. Our research experiment is called the Limited Irrigation Research Farm, or LIRF as we like to abbreviate it as. It's near Greeley, Colorado, about an hour north of Denver in the Colorado Front Range. It's a semi-arid environment. We don't get a lot of rain out there, so it's an ideal place for us to do limited irrigation research experiments. The treatments that we have on the main experiment, we have two crops, corn and sunflower. There are 12 treatments with four replications of each. So if you think 48 total plots and then two crops, we have 96 total plots. Each plot's 12 rows wide by about 140 feet long. The treatment structure is a growth stage based irrigation. Our main goal for our project is to try to maintain high crop yields with less water. And so when you're scheduling irrigations, first of all, the reproductive stage, when that corn tassels, and I'm going to speak mostly to corn in this presentation, when the corn tassels and silks, it's imperative that you get water on the crop at that time. So we'll give it as much water as it needs during that growth stage. But during the early vegetative stage, as that crop is growing, we will try to give it 100% ET and then varying levels of ET in between to try to get ET savings. And alternately, we will try to vary the ET in the maturity growth phase. So we have several different levels of those ET-based restrictions on the management, and that's where we get our 12 treatments. For example, if we have a treatment we call an 80-50, our goal is to reach 80% of ET in vegetative, and then 100% reproductive, as we do for all treatments, and then 50% maturity. The reality of the treatment structure is that this is a goal. If we get a lot of rain, obviously it changes our water balance and it makes it more difficult to reach ET, but we try to do as good as we can. This is our plot map. Again, we have 96 different plots. Just to give an example, we have four replicates of each treatment, so if we want to look at a 100-100 treatment, those are our four replicates for corn in 2012. And if we look at, say, a treatment 5, in the previous example, that would be an 80-50. So that's kind of what we're dealing with. As far as infrared thermometry, which I'll talk about a little bit more, we try to put one in as many plots as we can. There are some logistical issues. For example, a CR1000 Campbell Scientific data logger will only fit 5 of those pieces of equipment in it. It'd be really nice if they fit 6, because then it would work out really nicely for us. But we try to get as many as we can. So this is an image of what the corn looks like under water stress. On the left, you can see a fully irrigated, nice full canopy crop. And on the right, you can see a wilted, shorter water stressed crop. If you look at them with an infrared thermometer, and we use Apogee IRTs in case anybody wonders, it basically scans an area, which if you look on a nadir viewer directly upward, it's a circle, but if you look at an angle, it goes in an oval. We're looking at about 4 different rows, and it integrates the canopy temperature throughout. You see that diurnal curve. So as the sun comes out and it warms all the leaves and it warms the entire environment, you see that go up, and then you go down at night. There's a few things that are very interesting about this. First of all, at night, everything converges. All of our treatments converge to the same temperature, so it's really, you really don't have any treatment effects at night. Of course, where your transpiration is occurring during the day, and that's when you start to see those differences in treatment. So if we look at a fully irrigated crop, those leaves are going to be fully out, they're going to be transpiring quite a bit and cooling off, whereas alternately a limited irrigation crop is going to be a lot warmer when those leaves wilt, and transpiring much less. Looking at the 96 plots here, just like the previous presentation, we've created an EC map to look at our soils and the difference that we have across those soils. We do have quite a bit of variability. On this map, the lower numbers or the lighter soils are more coarse soils. So they have a lot more sand, they'll hold a lot less water, whereas the darker soils are heavier soils with higher water holding capacities. And so as you can imagine, if you look at our treatment structure, for example, 2012 in corn, we have two plots here that don't hold a lot of water, and then we have two plots that hold a lot more. Now, that, where that comes into issue is, even though we're trying to give all of these treatments the same amount of water, which is all drip irrigated, by the way, everything on this is on drip, so it's very efficient, it's very accurate, we're very confident that we're giving everything the same water. What happens is we're starting to see very significant differences in some of those plots as far as what the temperature is, despite being in the same treatment. The EC in these plots is related to field capacity. It's not a super strong relationship, but there is a very good relationship there, and so really we attribute a lot of this to water holding capacity. On a separate part of our project, we have some infrared imaging, and so these are overhead thermal images of what the canopy temperature is. Driving through the same field, we're looking at four different treatment one plots here. The darker, you can see on the darker scale, it's much cooler. So if we look at these four, and they're all taken within about 25 minutes of each other, mid-afternoon, given the temperature in the EC, you can see in the lower right that it's a much cooler temperature and it has the highest EC. And just putting these four on a plot, this is kind of the trend that we see when you have large differences in the EC in your plots and looking at the temperature. Now if we take that and we scale it up looking at all of the data that we have, this is over 2 years for in corn. Looking at the top alone, and this is where we start to separate. When things are cool, you don't have stress. Okay, if you have a moderate day that's 75 degrees Fahrenheit or so, you're really not going to see a lot of differences within a treatment because everything's all the crops are pretty happy. In fact, between treatments, you're not going to see a lot of differences. So if you plot everything, the y-axis here, TC minus TC mean, is a difference from the mean for that treatment on that point. So if you have four treatments, you have an average, and if it's biased one way or the other, that's what the value is that you're giving. There's a little bit of bias in cooler temperatures. As we get a little bit warmer, you see a little larger slope on here, but as we get really warm, above 29 degrees C, we really start seeing this bias where when we have lower ECs with less water holding capacity, we're getting warmer soils, and alternately with heavier soils, we're not getting quite as much stress. So this temperature basis, it's an important consideration when you're looking at infrared thermometry. For example, if you want to base everything on a non-stressed crop canopy, you should probably use a heavy soil that has a large water holding capacity. Now I'm going to speak a little bit about some alternate indices. The crop water stress index has been used for about 25 years or so, started in 1981 by IDSO, and I didn't put a reference up there. The inputs that are required on that, besides the canopy temperature, you have air temperature, vapor pressure deficit, which is a function of relative humidity. You have to create upper and lower baselines out of that, and there's a few different methods for doing that. And then you also have to have clear skies. If you have any blockage of the solar radiation, then it kind of falls apart. So there's a lot of things that really go into crop water stress index. And so we're starting to look at things, thinking with the idea, what if we can get an index that is equally as informative but requires less data? So I'll show a few examples of what we're looking at. This is an example, and this has been published in Ag Water Management using sunflowers, degrees above non-stressed, or DANS as we refer to it, where simply if you look, and typically we'll look at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or somewhere near solar noon where we have maximum stress, it's the degrees above non-stressed. So if you have your fully irrigated crop, you assume that is non-stressed, or at least I like to say least stressed. Obviously, if you have very, very hot temperatures, sometimes you're going to see some wilting in those leaves, and sometimes crop water stress index will indicate that is under stress. So, but we would call this least stressed and compare directly the difference in temperature there. If we take that over time, obviously if you only look at 2 p.m., that's only a snapshot. If you're integrating this over the entire day and finding what the total difference is, obviously it takes a little more data, but it's worth looking at. So integrated degrees above non-stressed. The time temperature threshold is another method that's been used by several scientists in this room, especially in Bushland, Texas, to look at the time that the canopy temperature is above 28 degrees Celsius. That 28 is a threshold above which is considered to be much more stressful. So in some previous studies, they've used this threshold to look at various irrigation management strategies. For example, if it's above that threshold for a certain amount of time, then we would initiate an irrigation. What this doesn't account for is how far above 28 it is. If it could float at 28.1 degrees for 4 hours, and that would be no different than being at 30 degrees for 4 hours. So again, it's important to look at not only time, but a quantity. How far are we above that 28 degree threshold? And looking like the previous example, we can integrate that and see what that looks like. So we looked at all these indices using the same data set. This is corn from 2012 and 2013. And this is just an example of the 3 days, 3 days in a row with increasing stress. So you can see the first day, all the treatments, so this is treatment 1, treatment 8, treatment 12, so increasing levels of stress. The first day, they're very close. As the days go on, you see them diverge. Looking at the crop water stress index above DANS and DACT, you can see that, again, these levels increase as these 3 days go on, so they are indeed responsive to the difference between treatments. Now, making direct comparisons between these, if we're looking at cooler temperatures, we don't see quite as much of a response, but if we look again at warmer temperatures, comparing CWSI, DANS, and DACT, they have very high R-squared. They have a very close correlation. Now keep in mind that DANS, all it requires is 2 canopy temperature measurements, and DACT, all it requires is 1, and that's it. And it has a very high correlation with crop water stress index, which requires a lot more information. So they're much simpler, and that's kind of the advantage if you can get the same thing. We're also taking a look at how they relate to soil water deficit. There is some linear relationship, but there's a lot of scatter, and that's something that we're looking at for the future. So to conclude, the soil type does have an influence on canopy temperature. It's more or less a function of water holding capacity, and it's something that we're looking to quantify further. Those relationships are very weak, and so we're looking to see if there might be other inputs into that, why we're seeing that relationship. There might be simpler alternatives to crop water stress index. I like making the analogy, if you have a headache, you don't need an MRI. The same thing if a crop is stressed, you may or may not need to know all of those environmental things to at least know that, hey, it's wilting, it's hot. We can still find information from something very simple. So I like this philosophy that everything should not be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. So I'll leave you with that. If you have any questions. And my email is here too. If you have a longer question or would like to talk to me later, please email me.